Heavenly Father, Lord King, we praise you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. Thank you for blessing us with the Shabbat so we can take a day of rest to just spend time worshiping you and being with our brothers and sisters. I pray that the words that come out of my mouth are the words that you want me to say, and that you will bless this message and bless all those who hear this message in your holy name, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. When I was preparing for this message, for the title of the message, the Lord put in my mind the title of a song from back in the 90s by a group called En Vogue, and the title was called Free Your Mind and the Rest Will Follow, and that's the title of the message for today. Not so much has anything to do with the lyrics from that song, but it's the title is important for the message. It just, like with Rabbi and movies, also with me, the Lord uses movies and songs in a way that help me understand the things that he wants to explain to me. So the context is going to be free your mind and the rest will follow. And context I'm going to be explaining throughout the message. So first let's look at John 8:32b and 36, which says, "And the truth will make you free." And also, "So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." It is the truth through the revelation of Messiah Yeshua that will set us free. Can I get an amen to that? Again, this goes to what was always being stated up here from the Bima, from Rabbi Mark, from Rabbi Eduardo, from myself. It's all about Yeshua. Everything, which meaning salvation and how we live our lives, has to be about Yeshua, through Yeshua. Our life is empty and meaningless if we don't have Yeshua in our life. It is empty and meaningless if we don't allow him to guide us in the way he wants us to live our lives. And I know just about every message I've been given lately has a strong emphasis on about our relationship with Yeshua. And that's because it's really important to have repetition. If you see in the Bible, the Lord repeats a lot of things to us because we're a little slow in the uptake, so we have to repeatedly hear it over and over again. Amen. And I know I'm one of those that can be a little bit slow in the uptake, but eventually I get it, and I keep striving to change the person that I am to be the person that he wants me to be. The Bible, as I said, is filled with lots of repetitions. We should always be looking to God, to Yeshua, the Holy Spirit, for direction in our lives. And as Rabbi Mark was mentioning earlier, we may not completely understand the nature of the Lord with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And as Rabbi Eduardo has mentioned on occasion, we live by faith. We don't have to fully understand how the three work together as one. If we're reading scriptures where Yeshua was praying to the Lord for the healing of Lazarus, the resurrection of Lazarus, we don't have to try and figure out and understand how can the Son be talking to the Father at the same time that he's the Father up in heaven. We're not going to be able to understand that. Maybe more than likely when he returns, he's going to explain that to us in a way we'll understand. Until then, we live by faith. We just have to know that's the way it is. We should always be looking to the three of them for direction in our lives. We have a direct communication with God through his Holy Spirit, which dwells in us. And it's an amazing thing to have. Peace of the Lord, His Holy Spirit dwells within us. That makes it so much easier to communicate with Him. If we allow the two-way communication. Unfortunately, some of us ignore the communications at times, or we haven't learned how to understand what He's trying to tell us. Or some of us are so busy talking, asking, that we don't take the time to just stop and listen to get the answer. You can't get an answer if you're always talking. He's busy going, So if you're communicating with the Holy Spirit, just try and see how much easier life is if you're communicating, talking, and listening. Just like our relationship with other people, talking and listening. It has to be a two-way communication in order to be proper, clear understanding of what's going on. Once we achieve that, we'll be able to see that trying to do things on our own is so much harder than just allowing the Holy Spirit to direct us and do it for things for us. We have freedom through Messiah Yeshua. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5b. Says we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, Messiah. As Rabbi Adorno stated, I believe last week, as well as myself and Rabbi Mark in the past, we have been freed from the slavery of sin to be servants to the living God. Amen. And that's the main understanding. That's the main thing we should be understanding. We weren't freed from following the law. We were freed from the curse of the law because He took the punishment for us so that we can spend our time walking out salvation, becoming more and more like Him, to be servants of Him, not trying to get out of the law. It's about being servants to the Lord. And as a new creation, as servants of the Lord, we submit ourselves to God, allowing Him to guide our steps. We'll be able to take every thought captive to the obedience of Yeshua. Have you ever wondered, what does that mean? How do you take your thoughts captive to the obedience of Yeshua? It's about constantly being in contact with the Lord, filling your mind with Him, allowing Him to show you what He wants of you and how to live your life. If your head is filled with the Lord, He's going to take your thoughts captive for you and allow you to be able to listen to Him and less to those little thoughts that Satan may be putting in your head. We need to free your mind and the rest will follow. We have to free your mind from sin, slavery to sin, to Satan, and to the world, and make it a servant unto the Lord. We need to free your mind to God, to submit to God, and to take every thought captive to be obedient to the one and true God, and the rest will follow. That part we don't have to be concerned about as much as being obedient to God, allowing Him to hold us to captive, take our thoughts captive to His obedience, to obedience to Him, and the rest of it is going to follow. Because if you're in the Lord, He's going to help you. He's going to guide you. He's going to direct you. Trying to do it on your own is the hard part. Because if you do it, most times, actually all the time, it doesn't come out the way you want it to come out because it's the wrong way. You free your mind to serve God and allow Him to guide your steps, and the rest will follow, meaning that He will take care of everything else. I know you talk about tithing here fairly often. Not so much it's about the money, but it's about your spiritual condition. If you're worried, oh, our finances aren't good enough for this week, I can't tithe. That is the wrong attitude. The attitude should be, I love the Lord. He's given me, blessed me with all this. I'm going to give Him the tithe and trust that He's going to take care of me. Free your mind and the rest will follow. Baruch Hashem, because He takes care of us. Just like little children, where the parents take care of the little children. Just like as though you take care of your children. They don't have to worry about where they're going to sleep, where they're going, what they're going to eat, the clothes that they wear. All you got to do is worry about sleeping, eating, playing. Most of the time, that's all they really want to do is play, but it's the attitude of like being like children. We have to rely on the Lord for everything. That's important. And why is this important? Because, my beloved brothers and sisters, we are in the middle of a battle, physical and spiritual. Rabbi Mark was talking about this during the Micha Mocha message. Every single person is in this battle. Whether or not you believe or don't believe in God. Sorry, all you atheists. You're still in the battle, whether you like it or not. You will be used one way or another, and no matter what you believe. And as believers, we're definitely in the battle. Satan will come at you hard. Once you start believing and following the Lord, things will become a little difficult. Rabbi Mark is always letting people know, the new people know, that once you start coming here and you're striving to become more observant and striving to have a relationship with the Lord, there's going to be spiritual attacks coming at you. When you're not a believer, you don't really see anything. Before I was a believer in the military, Satan didn't mess with me that much because I was doing the things that he wanted me to do already. He didn't have to do anything to get me to do it. I was already doing it. It's when you start changing your life and living a life for the Lord and being obedient, that's when Satan takes notice and that's when he starts attacking you. It's so important to have a relationship with God. And the main battlefield is the mind, because that's where Satan does most of his damage. Yes, he does. There's physical attacks, but most of his attacks are in your mind. And this should not just be an academic exercise where your knowledge is, you acknowledge that there is Satan, but you don't take it to heart. You don't take it seriously. And there's quite a few people in the body of Messiah that do not take Satan seriously. Those of you who do not see this as a real thing, as a real threat, you will lose the battle every time. You cannot disregard 1 Peter 5:8, which says, "Stay sober, stay alert. Your enemy, the adversary, which is Satan, stalks about like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour, to destroy, to take down into hell with him." This is no joke. Rhetorical question. Did Yeshua think Satan was real? He most certainly did. And we know he believes Satan was real because if you look in the book of Matthew, when he was out in the desert, he specifically stated in 4:10 where he rebuked Satan. Away with you, Satan, for the Tanakh says, worship Adonai your God and serve only him. Serve only him. Satan is real. Unfortunately, Satan has done a really good job of lulling people into a sense of false security. As I said, most of the believing world, the body of believers, believe this. Don't necessarily believe Satan is a real individual. They believe it is a concept. People have evil inclinations and good inclinations. They do not see the seriousness of Satan and what he does is real. It is not a game. They think of him as some kind of boogeyman. This is all garbage. Satan is real and he's seeking to take as many as people down in hell as possible. He's described as a devouring lion. If you ever see how, you can look on YouTube how lions hunt, like these animals, like the gnus and the ibex, they wait till the weak ones are away from the pack and they attack them. They devour them. I gave a message a few years ago called Note to Self, Satan is Real. And I stated in that message that Satan worshipers believe Yeshua is real. They believe both Satan and God are real and may even have stronger beliefs in Yeshua than some believers. Unfortunately, with their belief comes the fact that they hate Yeshua. They hate God. They believe in both Satan and God more than some believers. Some believers don't take Satan seriously, and that's a mistake. The bottom line, what I'm trying to say is that Satan attacks our minds, and the attacks are real. He will use every single hurt that was ever done to us to manipulate you. Every single trauma, every single deception, every single rejection, every single thing he will use as a stronghold to get into your mind. These are entry points into your mind. And when you let those strongholds come to fruition, you're given an entry point, a key for the demons and Satan to enter your mind and to manipulate it. He uses everything that is contrary to the fruits of the Spirit, such as lust, worry, anxiety, fear, anger, addictions, depression, unbelief, unforgiveness, rejection, and the list goes on. Everything that is opposite of the fruits of the Spirit, he uses to manipulate your mind. Do any or all of these things sound familiar to anybody? They're familiar with me too. They hit home to me. And once he has that stronghold, he uses it to control you, and constantly manipulate you. He's going to control your mind to destroy you, to destroy your body, to destroy your relationships, and to trick you into isolating yourself. And what do I mean by that? when he ruins relationships, he tricks you into thinking one tiny thing that might have a slight little bit of truth to it. He will twist it around and use it as a way to destroy a relationship. There have been several people that have left this congregation because of these manipulations, and they've ruined the relationships. You come here and you think it's your home and you believe it's your home. The Holy Spirit tells you this is your home. And some way, somehow, Satan has manipulated something to ruin your relationship with one of the, anybody in this congregation, with the leadership, whatever, and it destroys you and sends you away because it has been allowed to use it as a stronghold. And don't be fooled. You can also be isolated within a crowd. What's that term? You can be lonely in a crowd, or you can be isolated in a crowd. You can be picked off if you allow these strongholds to get a hold of you. These thoughts will come in an endless loop. And if you're able to compare these thoughts against God's word, you realize that they do not line up with God's word at all. And what I mean by an endless loop is, he did this to me, she did that to me. And you start thinking, people tell you, oh, no, 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 no. And you start seeing the reasoning behind it, and you loop back around. No, you did that to me. And it's a constant loop where you go to, okay, I believe it didn't happen, didn't happen. And you loop back to, yes, it did happen. And it doesn't stop until you break it. You have to compare it to the word of God to realize that what you're thinking is wrong. Because Satan does not want you to be in a good relationship, a healthy, godly relationship. He doesn't want you to be around other believers. He doesn't even want you to believe that God loves you or cares about you. He wants you to believe you're not good enough. All those things you did in the past, it's not going to save you. You're a horrible person and you don't deserve to have salvation. Those are lies from hell. They are not real. You believe God, you love God, and you serve God. You will have salvation. He loves each and every one of us. Even though those people that do not believe in him, that do not want anything to do with him, he still loves them and he's still holding out for them to come back to him. Anything else is a lie from Satan. Ephesians 6:12 says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. We are not having struggles with an individual. It's with Satan. Yes, they get manipulated. They let the flesh rule them. But it's Satan, majority of the time, is behind the scenes manipulating that flesh to get what he wants. We have to stop saying, that person did that to me. No, you got to start thinking, that person more than likely has been manipulated by Satan to do what he did. We need to stop thinking negative about them and start blessing them. And then I start praying for individuals who may have inadvertently cursed us. We pray for people that don't believe in God, that believe in witchcraft. We pray for them. Because they are fooled. You have to remember, when you're having problems with an individual, they may too may be being manipulated by evil. And going back to isolation, you do not have to be alone. You can get help in the battle through community. And I'm not talking about just being here physically. All parts of you have to be here and present, not just showing up. It's just like during the worship service here on Shabbat. The elders were talking about this topic recently. This whole service was designed step by step to prepare you to truly worship the Lord. Each prayer or song is designed to take us one step closer to being in the presence of God. Panim el panim, face to face with God. Each pattern was taken by the steps. Back in the days when there were kings, there was a certain pattern or steps they designed to prepare you to enter the presence of the king. And in this case, we're supposed to be preparing ourselves to enter, to come into the presence of the King of the universe, the creator of everything. These prayers and the way they're set up and the way where the music is put in is not just put in because it looks cool, it sounds cool. These are designed specifically to get you, to prepare you to be in the presence of God. Rabbi Mark, Rabbi Eduardo, and when I do it sometimes leading those services, are trying to listen to the Holy Spirit and be led by the Holy Spirit. My wife Amanda, when she prepares the songs, when she does the songs, she is listening to the Holy Spirit. But unfortunately, there's quite a few people that don't act that way. They come because I got to do my time. They come, they don't come into service right away. They want to schmooze. I haven't seen this person since last week. There's a time to schmooze before and after. When you come into the sanctuary, the start of the service, you should be prepared to honor God, to worship Him, to give Him everything, because He gives you everything. So you want to give Him back what He's giving you. How do you expect to have an intimate encounter with the King without being prepared? You can't be prepared if you come to services late. It doesn't matter if you're 10 minutes late or 2 hours late, you can't get prepared. You're playing catch up. And I'm not coming down on anybody that comes in once in a while. I get it. Sometimes life, we get thrown curveballs and something happens that we can't get here on time. I get it. But I'm talking about habitual lateness. That is a problem. If you're not coming once or twice a month, or coming just for the message, that's a problem. If you show up just to hear the message and then to schmooze afterwards at Onig, that is a problem. if you miss most of or all of the service, but show up just to schmooze at Onik, that is a problem. If I ask you if you're habitually late to work and you say no, then that's an even bigger problem. You're putting your job ahead of the Lord. That is the problem. The Lord comes first, then your job. The hierarchy in God's kingdom is He is number one, numero uno, the first. And as Elder Lee stated during this meeting, you shouldn't be thinking about what you can get out of the service. You should be thinking about what you can be putting into the service. It's not coming here. I want to feel good by the songs that we sing. I want to feel good about the prayers that we're doing. It should be, what can I do for God? Amanda and I are introverts. She doesn't want to stand up here in front of everybody. She does it because the Lord asked her to, and she follows the Holy Spirit. And she does a fantastic job. I don't like doing this. I spend most of my time in high school avoiding public speaking. I would write a 10-page paper before I would do a 5-minute book report. I don't like public speaking, but the Lord has asked me to do it through Rabbi Mark. My first message lasted 10 minutes. It took almost a year or two before I broke 15 minutes. But the Lord asked me to do it, and I do it. I want the attitude of coming here to serve Him and do what He asked me to do in order to worship Him. And I come here because this is a community. Rabbi Mark was talking about in the military. And the Holy Spirit was speaking to me about this because I've always had a little confusion about this. I know military boot camp is supposed to be somewhat the way that we come into the kingdom, the army of God. But I couldn't understand. I was told that they tear you down, take away your identity, and build you back up to what they wanted. And the Holy Spirit said, no. And He used two Hebrew words to explain it. There's Yechad and there's Echad. Yechad means one, just one. Echad is one of many. In the military, it is the same as the king, army of God. You are changed as an individual. You still remain an individual, but you're changed. Your attitude is different. You're an individual, but your attitude is to serve God and to serve many. You're one, but you're part of many. It's the kingdom of God, heaven. That's why in the military, they always say, at least back when I was in, it used to be, you're serving God and country. You're still an individual, but you're part of many. We all have the same Holy Spirit. We all have the same God. We all serve God. God is number one. How we live our lives are the sacrifices unto the Lord. It's been said that the Levitical priesthood, the sacrificial system, has passed away. I don't think it has passed away. I think it has changed. Instead of sacrificing bulls and goats, how we live our lives for the Lord is the new sacrifice. It just changed how we do it. Because Yeshua paid the penalty as the ultimate sacrifice. but we still have to sacrifice our lives by living our lives for him. V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha b'chol lavavcha u'v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol me'odecha. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. You need to free your mind and the rest will follow. Free your mind for the Lord. Free your mind to have your thoughts taken captive with thoughts of Adonai, and the rest will follow. Free your mind to have a relationship, a deep, intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit, to be led by him, to be guided by him, to have your mind completely filled with thoughts of God and how you can serve God. Elisha freed his mind and took his thoughts captive for Adonai. And look what followed. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 to 17, the servant of the man of God, the servant to Elisha, got up early in the morning, and on going outside, he saw an army with horses and chariots surrounding the city. His servant said to him, "O master, O my master, this is terrible. What are we going to do?" Elisha answered, "Don't be afraid. Those who are with us outnumber those who are with them." Elisha prayed, "Adonai, I ask you to open his eyes so that he can see." Then Adonai opened the young man's eyes, and he saw there before him, all around Elisha, the mountain was covered with horses and fiery chariots. We see that Elisha's servant being afraid, but because of the larger army, that horses and chariots are surrounding the city. But Elisha tells him, "Don't be afraid." His servant's eyes were open, spiritually open, and he saw God's army. The rest will follow. Don't be fooled into thinking that only happened then. We live by faith. We're not totally in the spiritual world. But if we were able to have our spiritual eyes open, I bet you we'd be sitting here all around us, be angels. In times of trouble, you think you're alone. If you had to spiritual eyes to see, I bet you you'll see a whole army surrounding you. God will not let us go into it alone. He's always with us. We got to free our minds to serve him and fill it full of him, and the rest will follow. He will take care of everything. This world is in total chaos. It's on its way to the return of the King, Yeshua. Every day the time is getting closer and closer, and God wants all people to be saved. But unfortunately, that isn't going to happen. In 1 Timothy 4:1, it says, "But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons." Some people will free their minds only to be recaptured by Satan, as if they ever really freed their minds. I feel sorry. I pray that people will change their hearts, their minds, and their attitudes. Not play church, but actually have a relationship with God. Don't just show up. Only God in the person will actually truly know where they stand. We elders can stand up here and give messages, tell you to read scripture, advise you on how to make beneficial changes in your life to get back on track. But what it really boils down to, ladies and gentlemen, is application, application, application. It's not an exercise of academic excellence where you read the scriptures and read it and read it. I know it. Maybe even be able to memorize scripture. It's more than just reading. It's actually striving to have a conversation with God through his Holy Spirit and when he reveals them things to you and things that you need to change your life, you need to actually change your life. If you're the same person doing the same thing that you were last year, you need to go back and think, am I actually listening to the Lord? Am I following the Lord? Do I have a relationship with the Lord? Is my mind freed and filled with the Lord? Because part of walking out salvation is changing to be in the image of God. Every day, in every way, you should be getting better and better. Oh, that's a line from the Pink Panther, isn't it? Movies. You can think and say whatever you want, but it doesn't mean anything without the actions. You have to do more than talk the talk. You actually have to walk the walk. The walk of salvation. It comes down to your relationship with God. You have to be talking to Him every day. Constantly. And if you don't, you will have the problems. You won't have the peace. You may still have spiritual attacks. You may still have other types of problems. But when you're with Him and talking to Him and have a relationship with Him and pray and speak, He will give you the peace that surpasses all understanding. A weird joke just popped in my head. It used to say, if you keep your head while everyone else is losing theirs, you'll be the tallest person. That's an old Navy joke. But look what happened with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3:8-9. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called the man and said to him, "Where are you?" How cool is that? God's calling out to them. Where are you? He's looking for them. But Adam and Eve, they hid themselves from God. They stop talking to Him. God is always calling out to us. Where are you? I want to talk to you. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to sit down and have a cup of coffee and just schmooze. He's constantly doing that. We can't be like Adam and Eve and hide ourselves. We need to be running to Him. Constantly running to Him. Just like that song from the 80s. There we go with the song again. Sorry. By Brian Adams. I'm going to run to you. Because when the feeling's right, I'm going to run all night. I'm going to run to you, Yeshua. That's what we need to be doing. Running to Yeshua. Running to God. Talking to the Holy Spirit. We have to fill our minds with God and His Word so there's no room whatsoever for Satan to get in. No room at the inn. Sorry, you can't come inside. All I have is God in my mind, and that's all I want. So free your minds, and the rest will follow. Praise God, and hallelujah, and amen.